That excerpt we hear from T.S. Eliot's poem this morning from the Four Quartets. It's a piece of poetry that I found only after I began this sermon series a couple weeks ago, this sermon series on curiosity. And when I stumbled across it, I found it simply breathtaking. It portrays this deep spiritual wisdom, the wisdom of darkness, which is frequently the metaphor for not knowing, and it is often laden with negative connotations. Here it's recognized for what it is, the positive and necessary precondition for growth and enlightenment. And that image of, as in a theater, the lights extinguish, the lights darken. By that darkness, we're made ready, even eager, for the as yet to be revealed next scene. And this framing of the paradox of the spiritual journey, to arrive at what you do not know, you must go a way of ignorance, not knowing. Go through a way which you are not, and what you do not know is the only thing that you know. It is just beyond the limits of what we already know. Just beyond what we think we already know about the world, what we think we already know about God. What treasures await us just beyond what we know? Aren't you just a little bit curious? These last few weeks of September, I'm reflecting on what I am calling this post-Labor Day transition from summer to fall as a time to engage and savor this gift of curiosity, because I think it still bears for us a kind of back-to-school orientation, even when we're adults and older adults. And that orientation can lean in a couple of different directions. Is it, ugh, we're back to the old grind as usual? Or is it like the beginning of a new school year that we can approach it with anticipation and excitement, open to something new that's on its way, curious about something new, curious about what we don't yet know? The first Sunday, I first observed that we are born innately curious with our learning switch turned on full. And anyone who is around little children knows that's the case when they ask incessantly why. The world is full of these unexplained wonders and is endlessly fascinating and full of questions. We're curious about the world, about God. And it's those forever unknown and mysterious things, exploring questions and not just settling on an answer, that keeps our spirits fresh. And last week, it was specifically our curiosity about others that, as similar as we may think we are, as familiar as we become with one another, there's always going to be some unique difference or many unique differences. There's going to be a space. And that's a good thing, and it's a challenging thing. We want to bridge and understand. So what's going to fill that space? Our judgments, our projections, our prejudices, our suspicions, our fears, our assumptions? Or will we ask with gentle, sincere curiosity to bridge that space with grace and love, creating a bridge across which the gift that only someone different from us can bear? Our stirring curiosity is a reminder that each of us is born with that, and it still lives on in each of us, that following that inborn curiosity is our path of learning and growth about new ideas, discoveries, about others. What about ourselves? Have you ever been surprised by your reaction to something? Or have you ever found yourself unexpectedly interested in something or notice a peculiar personal quirk that you may not have noticed about yourself before. A couple years ago, I came to recognize, for many years, I have long recognized that I am not a fan of horror movies. I like suspense, I like supernatural movies, all that, but the kind of like the slasher, no, I have never seen and will never see any of the Saw movies. Just no. I know I do not want to see those movies. But what surprised me a couple years ago is my growing fascination with zombie TV shows. Now, yes, isn't that surprising? It surprised me. It's sort of like human guard, no, but zombie, well, you know, and the vampire werewolf stuff, yeah, bring it on. I don't know, but it's a little surprising. It's a little surprising to me. Now, I have yet to explore that on a therapist's couch, but it is a peculiarity that I have noticed about myself. It makes me curious what works in one and doesn't work in another for me. It seems that all of us have things we don't quite understand about ourselves, little things or big things. And in fact, you cannot check out at the grocery store without noticing in the magazines that there is some new personality test from somewhere. You can't sign on to Facebook probably on any day without seeing someone has taken and forwarded a quiz for you to find out how you are, you know, which ancient god or goddess you are most like. What character from Harry Potter you might be most like. Anyone here, Hermione? You see, you took the quiz! You took the quiz! Many, if not most of us, indeed probably all of us, want to understand ourselves just a little bit better because we often just turn around and surprise ourselves all the time. That person with whom we are most intimate and familiar, ourselves, remains a little bit of a mystery, even still. I've recently been in a book group of two, intentionally of two. A friend and colleague had encouraged me over a course of a couple of years to read a particular book, and I took him up on it. He had read it several times before, so we read it together over the last several weeks. And it's the book Velvet Rage by Alan Downes. Has anyone here read that or familiar with the book Velvet Rage? It's been out for a number of years. It is in its second edition. I think its first edition probably out 10 or 15 years ago. And he is a therapist that specializes with gay men in particular. And this book is oriented towards the emotional life of gay men, but particularly trying to unpack why so many gay men, regardless of age, but particularly of a certain age, myself included, may react with this kind of disproportionate anger and rage or respond to many situations quite unexpectedly or disproportionately. And in a way, it is an exploration of how one is shamed growing up gay in our culture. Now, there is shame of all kinds enough to go around. It is not just a gay male thing. It's not just a gay thing. I would commend this book to anyone who is curious about it further. But in our last book group session, which is over brunch and coffee, how awesome is that? That's kind of gay, isn't it? Yeah, kind of gay. Yeah. We were talking about some of the insights that we had gained, and one that I gained, which will have to be further explored in a whole other sermon of its own, is I finally have a kind of answer to my own ambivalence that I've had for years about singing in public. There you go. We'll put a pin in that and come back to it some other time. So, there you go. He talked about his own insight. He attends another church, a different church, not ours. And he finds himself sitting in the pews judging other people. No one here has ever felt that ever about anyone else in this church, I'm sure. He describes how he will sit there and his inner dialogue will be judgments of what people are wearing, the shoes that they're wearing or not wearing, all kinds of things. And he hears his inner self doing that, and he finally realized from where that judgment came. He, as a small child in church, felt judged by God, judged to the point of eternal damnation. So that turned itself into, well, if I'm going to be judged by their God, I will judge them. Now, several decades later, he understands where that comes from, so he can change. We think we know ourselves. We've lived with ourselves all of our lives. Until we suddenly discover that that puzzle just got unlocked. That mystery just got solved. And there is yet something else we didn't know. The reading from Scripture, that beautiful and beloved Psalm 139. The psalmist writes so exquisitely about not only the greatness and the pervasive presence of God, but God's knowledge in both sustaining and creating us, recognizing that we are, quote, awesomely, yes, that's in the original Hebrew, awesome, awesomely and wonderfully made, knit and woven together by God, that God is acquainted with all of our ways, knows us completely. And then the psalmist exclaims, such knowledge is too high and wonderful for me, I cannot attain it. That even as well as the psalmist might know herself, or we ourselves, our maker and creator God will always know us more completely. So I just want to do a quick check-in. Who here right now feels awesomely made? Good. We see several hands go up, more than I expected. Feel awesomely made. Now, admittedly, that can get harder as one grows older to feel awesomely made, that the soreness and the sags, one gets a little bit, it's a little more distant to that awesomely made feeling when those trips to the gym are no longer for improvement but just maintenance. Shush. But it's harder even when we grow up, isn't it? Because we hear and then we internalize all of those judgments that are fed to us by the culture, our media, and maybe even tragically our closest friends and family. It can be hard to embrace awesomely made. It can feel forced or faked or a kind of overcompensation to affirm what that psalmist so unabashedly affirms. I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Say that with me. I am awesomely and wonderfully made. One more time. I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Okay. If that feels false or half-hearted, maybe you are more than you think you know about yourself. If that was hard or uncomfortable, you may be more than you think you know about yourself. Like our knowledge of everything else, our knowledge of ourselves remains partial. But the psalmist reminds us that God knows us even better than we know ourselves. Most of us can easily provide a list that enumerates all the mistakes we've made, all of our personal flaws and shortcomings. Don't we have that just ticking away in our head most of the time anyway? All the reasons that we are unlovable. That list of failures so long, the layers of hurts and pains so thick, a door of shame locked so tightly, that there is this part of us that is hidden from ourselves. A part that remains unseen and unknown, maybe always. A wonder I don't yet and might never know. But as I've thought of this, it reminds me that God's love and grace is not just about loving me in spite of this ready list of shortcomings that I can produce at a moment's notice. God's love and grace sees to a place that remains often hidden to me, a place I cannot see and sometimes cannot know. God doesn't love me in spite of what I already know about myself, but God may in fact love me because of what I don't know about myself. It is a treasure in this earthen vessel. The part that keeps God in love with me and you. If it is the unknown within that is that lovable, awesome part, what great dream is yet to be dreamed? What slumbering gift or skill is yet to be awakened? What thrilling call is yet to be heard that will make the heart leap? Not only are others more than we think we know about them, you are more than you think you know about yourself. I'm reminded of a song that may be familiar to those of us old enough to have been in church during the 80s. And that isn't all of us in this room, believe it or not. And it's a song that I remember Sandy Patty singing, In Heaven's Eyes. Does anyone remember In Heaven's Eyes by Sandy Patty? Yeah, we're old. Yeah, we're old. Okay. But it's a beautiful song, In Heaven's Eyes, and the chorus goes something like this. In heaven's eyes, there are no losers. In heaven's eyes, no hopeless cause. Only people like you, with feelings like me, amazed by the grace we can find in heaven's eyes. In heaven's eyes, that sounds like the God of Psalm 139, a God who knows us more intimately than we will ever know ourselves. A God of love and grace, not because of ignoring anything about us, but through knowing us and treasuring us more deeply than we can ever know ourselves. We are given this sacred gift of curiosity. It's kind of like a treasure map. It's the path to learning and vitality, spiritual growth. It begins with what you know you already don't know, and it's just beyond the edge of what you think you already know. And it's not just about the world being more than we know and others being more than we think we know about them, and God being far more than we can ever come to know. You are more than what you think you know about yourself. Praise God.